Your conference is being recorded.
Great. Well, welcome everybody. This is our second conference call for BF103, which is Reporting and Recreation. And I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Kwanlundun First Nation and Tonkwatchin Council. Last week, for those of you who joined us or those of you who've gone through the content, we looked at some of the types of reports that you might be asked to prepare while you're working or volunteering in recreation. And as you might recall, reports are written for different reasons, for different audiences, and might be presented in a variety of different formats. You might remember that the reports tell a story. So last week, I got to participate in a physical literacy conference that Thorsten hosted in the Daco region. And Thorsten, are the stories and the recordings from that conference available for people to have a look at?
Yeah, I can put them in the chat, a link, and then you can see all the participants and the presenters, and then also the recordings and their presentations are all online. I think we're missing one or two, but everybody else is there.
That's great. That'd be lovely to share. And really, I think the word story brought to mind because the theme was resiliency in community sport and recreation and telling those stories, right? Stories of the North and stories from elsewhere. So, you know, there's lots of ways to present and share our stories. So if you could share that link, that would be great, Thorsten. So just like a good story, a good report needs to be organized. It's been a long time since I've done English, like at university or high school, but I do remember that stories usually follow a flow from an introduction, action, to ending. So this week, we're going to explore the flow and common elements of major and the major sections of a report. So think of your report as a story or a storyboard. So that's, we want to take the readers of your report, depending on who the audience is, what the purpose is, through your story and bring them to an end point that either there's recommendations or there's what's going to happen next or something like that. So I know that you guys have met each other on conference calls before, but let's start with a quick round of introduction. What I did last week, I had a conference call with youth ambassadors from Nunavut, and I asked them to share like a fun fact about their community or where they were from, and boy, did I ever learn a lot about Nunavut community. So I'm wondering if you could just introduce yourself, and as you introduce yourself, share a fun fact about your community rather than telling us, you know, all the background about the organization and things like that. So share a fun fact about your community or a fact that somebody might not know. And then take a minute or so to explain to us or tell us, do you usually write reports from a template that somebody gives you, or do you create an outline for each report you write? So that will be the introductions. Kelsey, I think that was you then who just rejoined the call, so your phone dropped the call. Oh, did somebody else join the phone call, or was that Kelsey's call dropping? Guessing it was Kelsey's call dropping. So Courtney, could we start with you? I'll give you an example of what I'm looking for the introduction. So I'll start with me, then we'll go Courtney, Spider, and Thorsten. So as you know, I'm Caroline Sparks, and I'm in Whitehorse. And a fun fact about Whitehorse is that within the city of Whitehorse limits, we actually have more than 700 kilometers of trails. And that's a fun fact, but it's also, it makes Whitehorse a great place to live both winter and summer. And usually I end up writing reports. I have to create an outline for a lot of the reports I write. I do have one report that's due to the Public Health Agency of Canada, and they provide a template, and it's sometimes pretty boring to use their template year after year. But for the most part, for myself, I create outlines for the reports that I write. So let's start with Courtney, and Kelsey will tag you on at the end of the circle. So over to you, Courtney.
Okay, I work for Kwanlundun First Nation in youth recreation here in Whitehorse on the traditional territory of the Kwanlundun First Nation and on Kwatchin Council. And I'm trying to think of a cool fact about Whitehorse. There are so many, but I guess like one of the first things that comes to mind is it's home of the Youth on Quest, the 1,000-mile dog mushing race, which changes each year. Like, the start will be either in Alaska or in Whitehorse, so that's pretty cool. And when it comes to reporting, we in recreation do get funding from outside sources, so oftentimes we are writing our reports on a template that's given to us, and then we follow it. And then for our final transfer agreement dollars through the government, we don't have to report on that in a specific way. It might change each year. So our audience would be chief and council. And so depending on what information they want, they'll let us know. And so when we're doing our report, we take like a plethora of information on like the activities that we're doing, number of attendees, age groups, yeah, and then we compile that in different ways like PowerPoint presentations or Word documents.
That's great. Thanks, Courtney. And another fun fact about the Yukon Quest, like the winter one, we also have the River Quest in the summer now too. So
Yeah.
So okay, so Kelsey's having problems with the phone, so she'll listen to the recording afterwards. So let's go over to Spider. Spider, if you'd like to introduce yourself, tell us a fun fact about your community, and then explain if you usually write reports, are they from a template, or do you have to create an outline?
Yes, good morning, Spider Jones. I work for Sport North Federation. Fun fact about Yellow Knife. I don't know if it's fun, but it's virtually always, always windy. And that there seems to be a marked, in the summer anyway, a marked change in temperature at the, when you're down at the, on the shores of Great Slave Lake versus when you're uphill to get into the downtown. So it's yeah, interesting. Climate change there. On the reporting side, a lot of the reports I need to write are based on templates that are provided. Although I do have a little bit of latitude. If, for example, we have money from the Status of Women to run. Or this year we got $5,000 to affect some webinars and fireside chat on She Can Lead. So we're looking at speakers to talk about how athletics can develop the confidence and wherewithal to develop leaders. And that report is, I'm at my own leisure as to how I structure that report. But most of them are by a template, but there are occasions where I can just provide my own.
Okay, well, that's it's nice to have a little bit of flexibility in there, and yeah, definitely windy. Yellowknife seems so much more exposed when I visit there than when I feel in Whitehorse, so I can imagine that. Thanks a lot, Spider. Over to you, Thorsten, to introduce yourself, share a fun fact, and let us know what you normally use to write reports.
Yeah, thanks, Caroline. And hi, everyone. I'm Thorsten here from Port Providence. I'm the Digital Physical Logistics Coordinator. What really means I help territorial and national organizations to bring programming into the territories. Right now, we're running a virtual table tennis clinic with the Yukon, so that's pretty cool. I think the fun fact that I thought of is, and I don't know if that's something that I just saw, is every time it's like cloudy in Port Providence, it seems it's around Port Providence, but not in Port Providence. We have a lot of beautiful blue skies and then clouds all around us. Reporting, I try to be proactive. So my reporting starts when we receive the funding to keep the funder engaged, to share our information with them, share some pictures, tag them in our social media posts or on our websites. That's how I start with the recording, because then I also have a copy of all of it on the website and on social media. They can go back and say, oh, yeah, we did this, and they can easily get all the information from there. And then I also put everything into a folder that is labeled with the funder's name, and then all my information, every time something comes in or receipts that I need to pay with the funding, everything goes into one big folder. So at the end, when I need to fill out the form, what I do is it's much, much easier for us, and then I have all the information, resources already available.
Yep.
That's how I do it.
That's great. So in other words, you get organized with your reporting as soon as you know you've got the funding, and you have a system that you put in place all the way through so that when it comes time to actually providing that final report, you don't have to go scrambling and looking for things.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. And I just imagine this big blue sky circle overhead and then clouds around the horizon. So that's a pretty neat picture. That would make an amazing photo. Thanks, Thorsten. Okay, I think Kelsey said her call dropped, so let's move on. As you can see then from what you've shared and also on slide 22 in the presentation, you'll get two types of approaches usually to organizing your report. You might be given a template or a form that you have to use and they want it filled out that way, or you might be able to create an outline for the report. And as Thorsten mentioned, regardless of which format you use to organize your report, being organized and collecting things right off the get-go makes it way easier to complete that report. So if you think about the types of reports that funders actually require, as you can see on slide 23, the amount of detail in the report might vary from not very much to a lot. So, you know, I've had to write reports for $2,000. I've had to write reports for $500,000. Very different types of reports. You know, I've had to write reports for projects that have lasted for more than a year and projects that take place within a month. And again, the detail is often different to that. You're pretty much always going to run into, if funders are providing you with funding, that they're going to want both a written and a financial report. And sometimes you're going to find out that they want more financial reports than just one written one. So things vary. If you take a look at slide 24, there's some hyperlinks to reporting forms of four different funders. Three of them are in the NWT and one in the Yukon. The NWT On the Land Collaborative has some great resources for writing proposals, writing reports, things like that. But I'm just wondering if we can have a little chat right now about what are some of the common elements that either these funders, or if you haven't looked at these ones, funders in general would expect. So in other words, what type of information is included in what would be considered a good report? And I know that that's very subjective, so that could be a tough question to answer. But let's start with Spider, so we'll keep rotating our circle. So Spider, what's one or two things that a funder might expect to see in a report?
I think they'd like to know, success stories and challenges.
Great. And how do you generally present those? Like your success stories and your challenges.
Success stories can sometimes be through testimonials.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenges, that's typically a narrative that I provide, I find.
Okay, so it could be quotes from people, photos from people, stories from people, and then your own interpretation of what you've learned about what the challenges are.
Yep.
Perfect. So, yeah, successes and challenges are definitely two common elements that somebody would expect to see in what would be considered a good report. Thorsten, what's another element that you might include in something that would be considered a good report?
I moved location, so I hope you can still hear me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting way how you say a good report, because that can be, I think, anything. Like, if you have everything filled out, is that a good report? Did you provide additional information? Could that be good or bad, depending on the funder itself, too? And then if you talk about good as from the outcome of the project, then I would, say the same as Spider says, is share the success stories, testimonials, big pictures of smiling participants, those kind of things.
Great. So Really, I know that good is very subjective, the way we describe it. I guess what I'm just looking for is, you know, what type of information would you expect would be in a report that you would consider good. So, you know, success stories, challenges, photos, all the questions answered, if specific questions are answered, things like that. Thanks. Courtney?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I think that for me as a journalist, it's very black and white, so I would just follow exactly what's in the report and don't do more, because the hope would be that the person that makes the questionnaire and whatever else doesn't want more information. And if they do, then they would say, please write it out or share some additional information or share some testimonials and so on, and then they can go on. But with my German blood, I would say I would just go by whatever is outlined in the report first and then don't share anymore because it's not asked for.
Right, and what happens if you have to create your own outline? What do you think they might expect to see? Or what would somebody expect?
When I go crazy. I think then they
okay.
get a whole storyline, they get Facebook posts, they get pictures, videos, who's going to do crazy? Luckily,
so if you show a lot in your report, then you would focus a lot on sort of the impact on the participants and what you did and those sorts of things. So your actions, it would be the action part of your story, I guess. The actions and the results.
Yes. On my personal, yes. But it's funny that you say that and I think about this, because when we had the Accurate Games in the South Slave Human Hospital Territory, we received $3,000 for creating a full bilingual game. And if you think about $2,000 to have everything bilingual, that's just impossible. And having $3,000 to fill out a 20-page report just for that, then you think, would you really want $3,000 for doing that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the problem that sometimes we face into.
Yeah, sometimes they think they're doing this you a big favor. Mm-hmm. It's not really a big favor after all. So.
Yeah. And then sometimes, I mean, if it's a smaller grant, then I will not put as much effort into it, honestly, and that maybe it's not a nice thing to say. I still think I'm going to go beyond what he asks, but I will not go the 5 extra steps. I will still make the funder happy and try and have that good conversation and see what we can do in the future and involve them. I think that's the biggest one, too. But do I go as an extra effort? Sometimes it's hard. This time sometimes is more valuable than any money that you have.
Yeah, for sure. It's a balancing act with that. Definitely. Thanks,
yeah.
Thorsten. Courtney, how about yourself? If you're creating a report or you're doing your own format, what do you think some of the common elements would be that you would include? What would be expected? What would people expect to see?
So definitely the total participation based on age group, and then the age groups could be split up, like oftentimes it might be like 0 to 4, 5 to 9, 10 to 14, 5 to 9, 15 to 19, 20 to 25. And then if there's any other partners who are helping to facilitate the program, what the cost of the program was, elders who may have participated, and then like sometimes on a scale, like how we would rate the overall participation level or engagement level from the youth for the activity to kind of say, like, are we going to do this program again? Are we not? Because sometimes there might be a lot of participation or there might be a lot of attendees, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they were interested in the activity. But I would, you know, just echo that successes and challenges are also really common. Challenges for sure. I think it can sometimes be underestimated. Like, I think that people always want to make it sound like everything went so great, but it's really important to include the challenges so that things can improve for the next time.
Yeah, and actually, you raised a good point. Like, I'm imagining that, you know, if you report to a funder on your money was great, we had all of these successes, and then you go and ask them for some more money to do the next thing, they might say, well, you were pretty successful. We don't need to fund that. So perhaps if you raise some of the challenges, they might be more willing to continue supporting you to help you towards the successes that you anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting way. And you also touched on recommendations. So I think, you know, sharing our successes and also our challenges and what happened and who participated, those things naturally flow into recommendations. And not every report requires recommendations. Sometimes your recommendations might be internal and you keep them to yourself based on the report. But if you have an ongoing relationship with the audience for your report, like chief of counsel or your boss or a funder, you may very well want to include recommendations looking forward, depending on what you're reporting on. So thanks for raising that. Those are some great ideas. Sorry, did you have something else to add, Courtney?
Oh, no, I was just saying thanks.
Okay, well, thank you. So thanks for sharing. Like, you know, you can see that if you get a template for reporting, as Thorsten said, you fill it out, you give them what they need, and you're done with it. But if they ask you to provide a report with not as much guidance, or if you're providing a report for a different reason, not just for a program that you've ran, like maybe it's a report on the state of facilities, or it's a report to lead towards some, you know, to justify something happening in the future, then you might be creating your own outline. And at those times, a template from somebody might not quite capture what you need in your story. So if that's the case, you need to know what other elements or content to include. I just heard a beep. Did somebody just join the call, or did somebody else drop from the call?
Hi, it's Tegan.
Hi, Tegan. We're just partway through, so welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Great. I'll just keep rolling here, and then we can chat towards the end. So I'll add you in with the next question round. So just like the process to writing a good story, there's a process to writing a good report. So when you write a good report, you want to begin with an outline as explained on slide 25. And an outline really should reflect the purpose of the report and is tailored towards the audience. So, and logically ordering your contents is really important because that helps your story come across clearly. And what you might want to do, as shown on slides 26 and 27, is go back to the beginning. So, Thorsten, you said you started collecting your information for reporting right at the beginning. I suggest that you also go back and look at what you set in place. Did you have a logic model or a plan? Did you have a work plan? Was there a budget or a financial plan for what you did? Because those things will help you, as you can see on slide 27, lead into the report. So a logic model should show the flow of what your activities are going to, the impact that they're going to have. So you would notice that those would be your outcomes, your successes, your challenges, your results. A budget should lead to a financial report to explain what you did with the money and what worked and what didn't. A work plan can also, if you look at your work plan and you say, I was going to do this, and then a month later I was going to do this, you can also review your work plan so that you can look for successes or challenges. And, you know, I didn't give myself enough time to do this, or we could have, you know, it took too long to get these supplies into my community. So it's really important to also go back to the planning tools or the plans that you have in place for what you're reporting on. So rolling along, if you go to slide 28, this was one of the questions I was getting at when I was asking about common elements, is what the major sections or some tips for structuring your report. So you might need to include longer or shorter content, same as when we talked about proposal writing. The length and scope of your proposal and your outline for your proposal is definitely influenced by the size of money that you're looking for or the size of your project. So it's the same thing here for your report. So factors like length of what you're reporting on, the cost, the complexity, all those will influence how much content and how big or how short your report is. So, just to give you an example, a short program or a grant of less than $5,000, I might only have like 4 pages in my report. Might be a half-page introduction, a 2-page body, a half-page conclusion and a half-page financial report. But a big report on something like repairs that you need to community recreation facilities, it could be easily 50 pages long and include more than 5 sections, have lots of addendums, and have financial forecasts. So hopefully you guys are more involved with the shorter ones, because the long ones take a lot of time to put together. Keep in mind, though, as I mentioned earlier, that most reports will require a financial section, unless you're including a financial forecast of what something would cost. And that financial report, as we talked about way back in EF 101, which is basic recreation finances, usually compares what you budgeted to what you actually spent. One last thing that I would strongly suggest you do, and I think this is shown on slide 31, is to make sure that you acknowledge your funders. There's, you know, your community partners, your stakeholders, and if necessary, your staff as well. It's really, really helpful to acknowledge the people that contribute to your project. So I'm going to ask you a question. We're going to have a look at what skills are essential for preparing good reports. So if you think that a report is like a story and it includes financial, perhaps financial and narrative information, what are some of the skills that you need to have in order to prepare good reports? So let's start with Thorsten this time, and then we'll go Courtney, Spider, and then Tegan. So, Thorsten, any thoughts about skills that we need to have that are essential for preparing good reports?
I would say being organized. Yeah, that's the biggest one, I think, is just being organized to have all the information ready. Because if you need to find papers and information the day before you fill out the report, you need to have testimonies 2 hours before midnight when you need to file it, I think. It's just good being organized, having a timeline in place for yourself to know that you need to have these certain things or a checklist and then start as early as possible.
Great. So being organized, setting a timeline for reporting, and starting as soon as you possibly can. Awesome. Thank you. Courtney, how about yourself? What are some skills that you think are essential for preparing good reports other than what Thorsten just mentioned?
Yeah, so I think in addition to organization would be clear communication skills. So knowing that, like in everything that we write, like everyone's really busy. Everyone doesn't always read everything. Like your communication needs to be like very clear, concise, to the point, and really tell the story in like as few words as possible. So I would say, yeah, writing skills and clear communication.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because we do so much online communication and writing and reading and things like that, that people are in a rush, like you said. So making sure that things are short, to the point, but also comprehensive, right? Which is a challenge. So good writing skills. So sometimes some people have to do reports, and if they don't have those skills, it can be helpful to get somebody to proofread it. Well in advance, so that you can see where you can make adjustments. So thanks, Courtney. Mm-hmm. Excellent point. Spider, how about yourself? Are there any other skills that you think are essential for preparing good reports?
Yeah, I think apart from being organized and, you know, having that communication side of it, is that, you know, for me, underpinning is that they need to be germane. That, you know, sure, I got money. Sure, I need to report back to the funder of how their investment went. But for me to refer back to the report that I can make, you know, future decisions on, or that, if I wanted to duplicate something, that that process for duplicating successes as outlined in the report is all there. It becomes then a working package that's germane to my operations. It wasn't just not just an exercise to meet a funding requirement.
Yeah, so the word I wrote down when you're explaining that is useful. So if the report isn't useful, it kind of goes contrary to what the time that we have and the investments that we're making, right? Is that sort of what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it's stronger than useful. But yeah, I said germane, but yeah.
And leading you into the future, like helping you make decisions in the future. So I remember when I first moved up to the Yukon, I was managing the ski hill in Watson Lake, and somebody hadn't been in that position for a couple of years and found lots of boxes with all sorts of reports. And it was actually really helpful to get me started because there were all these old reports from a few years prior, but they told me things that had worked and hadn't worked, so it gave me a starting point. So reports can also be good to transition that information on in the future, right?
You bet.
Yeah, so that takes a special skill as far as how you put things together and the content that you put in it. Keegan, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but would you like to just introduce yourself and tell us where you're joining from? I think that you've met Courtney before and Thorsten, who are on the call, but perhaps not Spider. So if you could introduce yourself, that would be great.
Hi, I'm Keegan Weathershoot. I work in Whitehorse with Skookumjim Friendship Center. I'm joining the call on my cell phone. I just finished a law appointment today, so I'm just like in my mom's vehicle and she's driving me home.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I guess like a skill. I like understanding because all things are like understandable with different funding costs. So it's a good thing to just like, if you're stuck on something, to try to look it up or, I don't know, be resourceful.
Yeah, so sometimes that actually leads to another point. If you can take that a bit further, sometimes you need to have research skills to prepare a good report. So it's okay to say, like Courtney, I'll just go back to your proposal that was going to go to the Lawson Foundation with regards to preventing type 2 diabetes. And I think I may have shared with you a link to a quite an extensive diabetes project that took place in Ontario and one of the First Nations there. So, you know, some of the things with reports is you can also do research, and perhaps this is what you're suggesting, Keegan, to bring in some outside evidence that either contributes and says that, yes, you're finding the same thing in your project, so that does something good, or you've also learned that you should be doing this and maybe you want to do that in the future. So being able to research and gather information is another skill that's really important for good reports. So thanks, Keegan, and thanks for taking the time to join from your car. I did tell people on a webinar across the country yesterday that one of the advantages to the Rec North training program is you can join from your home, from your office, from the road, or in the bush. So thanks a lot for joining. I think another thing that you want to consider, and this ties into what you guys have mentioned, but maybe again takes it a little step further. So Courtney, you talked about the style of writing and presentation and being clear and concise. I think you also want to consider your audience. So if your report is for somebody like something to do with research or something different, might have a different style of writing than if you prepare a community report. So the skill about knowing your audience and being able to tailor how you present and write and show is really important so that you can adjust what you do based on your audience. So that's great. Those are some really good sort of points about what you need to do in order to prepare a good report. There's a couple of other points on slide 32 that, you know, further to what Courtney was saying, use plain language. Bullets and lists can be helpful. You don't always have to write in full paragraphs. Sometimes it can be really helpful to have one sentence and then have three or four bullets below it because, as Courtney pointed out, people are busy and don't always work, you know, have time to read. I think that you guys all 100% believe in bringing the report to life through photos, videos, but you can also use charts and diagrams. So, Courtney, you might compare your participation in one program one year to another program another year with a chart or a diagram. And coming back to what we said last week, make sure that in your report, so a good report shares the story, the numbers, and the results. So that kind of wraps up a little bit about reporting. For your required learning activity this week, you're going to choose a project or a program or something to report on. It could be something that you're currently working on. It doesn't have to be the one that you used for your first week's activity. It could also be the proposal that you wrote in the F-102 in proposal writing. And all you need to do, you don't need to write the report. I would just like you to prepare an outline for the report that includes a table of contents. And as you prepare that outline for each section of the report, start that on a new page and just tell me what you would include. So a sample list of contents is on slide 28. And, for example, it says include a title page. So in your outline, you can put title page and say what you would include in the title page or put an example. And then if you're going to have an introduction, start that on the next page and say, this is my introduction. Here's the sections or here's what I would include in my introduction. So you're not actually writing the report. You're just structuring it. And you will need to let me know what it's structured for so that we can have a look and understand who it's going to and what you're planning on reporting on. So hopefully that makes sense. If it doesn't, let me know. But before we wrap up our call for today, I'd like to take this our discussion about reporting and recreation one step further. So in a couple of weeks, we're going to be starting RP102, which is evaluation and recreation. And Courtney, you may have completed this. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and check my records, but some of you guys might have completed it and some of you not. But I think it's really important to look at reporting and at evaluation and compare and contrast the two. So we're going to wrap up with a question. And Courtney, I'm going to put you on the spot. We'll start with you at the beginning of the circle here again. And I just would like to ask you how you see reporting and evaluation are similar and or different. And I don't think there's necessarily a right or a wrong question here, or a right or wrong answer. I'm just curious as to your thoughts about this.
Yeah, so I guess when I think about reporting, I think kind of like the hard facts. So like numbers, pictures, like some quick descriptions. I guess where when I think about evaluation, it comes more about the sort of like mental, emotional, physical, spiritual outcomes of a program. So the evaluation being kind of like, was it successful? Was it not? What were the outcomes? So similar, but yeah, I guess the report being more number oriented and the evaluation being more outcome, like in terms okay. of challenges and successes.
Okay, can you explain perhaps why you see that difference? Like, would one lead into the other, or are they completely distinct and separate?
I think that they sort of exist together. So say if I use the example of, say in the report, we had really high attendance for a program. That would be in the report, but the evaluation could be the feedback that says, like, yeah, a lot of people attended, but they didn't necessarily enjoy it and they wouldn't attend again.
Okay, so would you include that evaluation information in your report then?
Yeah, I would. So I guess I'm kind of struggling to separate them.
Yeah, no, and it's good. That's why I wanted to have a conversation, because it is, even in my mind, I'm like, huh, how would I answer that question? And I've answered it many times. So, but what I'm hearing you say is, sorry, go ahead.
Or I guess, yeah, the report would be like everything together.
where the evaluation would be like a smaller part of the full report.
Yeah, so the evaluation might be something that leads into the report then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. We might need to go around a couple of times here. So I'm going to go next to, who is next in our circle? Thorsten. Thorsten, what do you think is, how are reporting and evaluation similar and or different? Can you build on what Courtney says, or do you have a different idea in your mind?
I think evaluation, I mean, it depends on, are you evaluating the program? Are you evaluating this in the the report? I mean, it could be that you do the evaluation that is part of the report. I think you mentioned that. Like, let's, what we did with our hockey and table tennis goals, the report that you need to file is what were the outcomes, and we used the evaluation out of that. Or do we evaluate the program itself and maybe use other programs and see, is it actually beneficial to do the program that we did? Does that make any sense?
I think so. What do you think, Courtney? Does that add to what you shared?
Yeah, I think so.
Great. Okay, so let's go to Spider. Do you have anything that you would add to what Courtney and Thorsten have shared on how reporting and evaluation are similar and or different?
I guess I'm looking a little bit on slide 32 that, you know, the reporting, as soon as it becomes, as soon as you start thinking about the effectiveness of it, then, you know, that then begins to lead into the evaluation side. You know, talks here on the slide about, you know, fulfilling the purpose. I guess that's the feeling. It's that transition from between reporting and evaluation, the transition from, you know, digesting, ruminating the hard facts into something then that lets you make, you know, decisions from improved practices in, yeah.
Yeah, so there's definitely some these are intertwined somewhat. So if I was to draw a diagram and put both in a circle, I would have these circles overlapping. So I think there's definitely, as you guys pointed out, similarities and differences. Tegan, I know you're in the car and can't see what we're looking at, but do you have any thoughts about the similarities or differences between reporting and evaluation?
Could you repeat that?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts about how evaluation and reporting are similar or different.
I think that reporting and evaluation, I guess I would say different, just because reporting is basically the entirety of what all just happened. Like after an event or after a program that just happened, reporting on it. I see an evaluation as something where you gather information, where you gather information so you can make the next program successful, or like if it was already successful, you could continue that program in the next year. But if it wasn't, you could brainstorm about how to make it more successful, or just drop it because it's not popular in with your community or where you're working at. So I think in that way it's different for how I understand reporting and evaluation.
That's great. I like that. So evaluation is probably a different process than reporting. What you do and what you learn through evaluation likely will end up in your reports in things like quantitative information. So as Courtney mentioned, hard facts, descriptions, you mentioned numbers, that information, but also you may be bringing in qualitative information, which is like your success stories and the impact of things on people. You might have learned those through evaluation, but you would present that through reporting. I think evaluation to me, and as we'll learn in the next learning event, is a process, as Thorsten mentioned, with reporting that should begin right at the beginning of when you're planning. So, and it should be intertwined because it helps you make decisions, as Tegan pointed out. It helps you make decisions as you go along. So if you think kind of like a, I don't know, maybe a balance sheet that gives you a catch or something at a certain point of time, like a balance sheet is like, as of March 31st of this year, our organization, this is our financial health. Reporting could be the same thing. It might capture things at a certain point in time, whereas evaluation is that research and the learning that goes into going into the report, but also making decisions and going beyond that. And sometimes I think, Courtney, what you were trying to say about those outcomes, especially the behavioral outcomes, the impacts on mental health and well-being and social well-being, those are things that it takes longer to actually learn about. So, you know, to say, oh, I'm going to report that in 1 year I impacted people's mental health, you know, so much so that such and such, that's a tough one, right? Like, so those outcomes, I think, as you pointed out, are probably longer, they take longer to observe and longer to draw conclusions about. Let's just go around once more and see if you have any final thoughts about that or anything to add. Courtney, any other thoughts now about reporting and evaluation similarities and or differences?
Yeah, I guess I can see like where they're different but still kind of exist together.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes you might provide a report without doing evaluation. You might simply collect, well, I guess collecting a feedback form is one thing. Like you could use a tool like we did for the first activity. But usually evaluation is a little bit more of a deeper process. And like you pointed out, we're probably looking for some more of those bigger impacts and outcomes and things like that. So it depends, really. So thank you. Thorsten, any other thoughts about how reporting and evaluation are similar or different?
No, I don't think anything on my end, honestly.
Great, thanks. Spider, any last minute thoughts about reporting and about versus evaluation?
Yeah, I think that reporting that if you're not asking the right questions, you're peeling it back enough to get some strong figures or opinions or data, then that directly impacts how you can use that information to evaluate whether to keep at it, to tweak it, to let it go. It's it's entwined that if your reporting is poor, insufficient, missing the mark, then in turn the evaluation that you use thoughts that you have to inform your evaluation based on poor reporting are directly influenced, as a direct result.
Right, that makes sense. So that's the way that they're sort of intertwined, right? One feeds into the other, and you can definitely see the impact of one on the other.
You bet.
Thanks, Spider. Tegan, any last-minute thoughts about how reporting and evaluation are similar or different?
No.
Great. Well, thanks for jumping in there. I appreciate it. And I did just check my records, and all four of you are enrolled or registered for RP102, which is Evaluation and Recreation. So we are definitely going to be continuing this conversation. And I think one thing to think of is a report, as I mentioned, can be as short and simple as 4 pages or even a page, but it can be as long as 50 pages. And I think evaluation too can be we can use that word to evaluate something through a simple tool like a feedback form, so it can be short. But the type of evaluation we're going to look at in the next learning event will be sort of more thoughtful and planned out, similar to what Thorsten mentioned at the beginning about being organized and knowing what you're going to collect and how you're going to collect it and doing it right off the bat. So I think that you'll find last year I did the evaluation learning event first and then the reporting one, but this year I flipped it around. So when we get to the next one, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. But I think that you can do a report without doing evaluation. So a report because you can have a financial report and you don't need to necessarily evaluate anything with that. So they can be distinct, but in most cases one feeds into the other. So that kind of wraps up the call for today. If you have any questions, please stay on the line after I complete or after I end the conference call recording. You get a break next week, I think it is. We will start RP 102 the following week, which should be, let me just double check on my calendar here so I don't tell you incorrectly. Yeah, we start RP 102, which is evaluation and recreation, on Monday, March 14th, and that is a 4-week long learning event. And I believe, without looking, that we do have 4 conference calls scheduled for that, so on each Wednesday. I just wanted to point out, because I think, you know, most of you have done at least one learning event, and some of you, many more than one, you're almost at your 18th or 19th learning event. These learning events right now, especially the BF 102, which is the proposal writing, the report writing, and also moving into evaluation, they are definitely more advanced learning events, and the reason why we've created them the way we have is because we have a MOU, or an understanding with the Canadian Parks and Recreation Association, that we, as long as we integrate the skills that they're looking for, you can use your management certificate to ladder into CPRA's professional development certification. I still have to create what that pathway looks like, and I'm hoping to launch it in the fall, but that's one of the reasons why my expectations in these learning events are a little higher than what you might have found in some of the other ones. So any last thoughts or questions? Courtney, any last thoughts or questions from your end?
No, I'm all good.
Great. And Forreston?
All good on my end.
Okay, and if you want to stay on the call, we can talk about the last learning event too as well, okay? If you have time.
So the next time on the group call is Wednesday, March 16th, 11 a.m. NWT time for RP 102 evaluation and recreation.
Correct, and I should just mention for Yukon folks, the times outside of the Yukon change on the weekend. So that means our conference calls in the Yukon will now be at 10 o'clock in the morning, not 11 o'clock. So the rest of you guys, NWT, don't worry about it. You stay with 11. The rest of us, even we don't change time in the Yukon, but we change our conference call time to accommodate the time changes elsewhere. So thanks for bringing that up, Spider. Tegan, any questions or final thoughts?
I don't think so. Just that. Thanks for being patient with me. I know that I have stuff to catch up on, and I'll do that this week.
That's awesome. And, you know, we do design the learning events to be flexible because life happens all the time. So that's totally okay. And you know how to reach me if you need a hand or if you want to chat on the phone about anything. I'm totally open to talking with any of you individually, providing some individual support. Phone, text, email, or Zoom as well. Spider and I met by Zoom on Monday. So you can do any of those if you need a hand. So thanks, everyone. I'm going to, yeah, thanks, Tegan. Just give me a shout if you need to chat further. So thanks so much. Masichok, Wanashish. I'm just going to stop the conference call recording and Thorsten, I'll chat to you afterwards. But the rest of you have a great week.
Very good. Thanks very much, everyone. Thanks, Noah.
Thank you.